chapter 5, we saw the miraculous healing of the lame man, the impotent man. He was weak. He couldn't walk. He was laying on a bed by the pool of Bethesda. The word Bethesda means house of mercy. And in that man's healing, when Christ healed him, we looked at many examples of God's mercy that was extended to him and to many others in that account, and indirectly extended to us as we see what God did in the record of the biblical account. But in that same account, in that same passage of Scripture where we see a man healed and we see God's mercy being extended to change a man's life, we read of people who were not helped, people who did not have their lives changed by God's mercy. An afflicted man was healed, but many other people who were also afflicted and also came in contact with Christ were not healed. The man's problem was a physical problem, and the problem of many others in that passage was a spiritual problem. Their spiritual problem, and all spiritual problems, are more urgent and more important than physical problems are. And Christ offered them opportunities for help. They had the opportunity to come in contact and enjoy and benefit from the mercy of God, but they rejected that opportunity. And it is the same way with sinners today. And you can make the choice today and every day from here on out, you can make the choice to not be like the people that had an opportunity and were not helped. This morning we're going to consider the sad topic of this. Here's the title of the message. It's a sad topic. It is How Sinners Stay Lost. How Sinners Stay Lost. Let's pray and we'll see this from the text. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. I'm thankful for the Word of God that shows us many wonderful and encouraging things, but it also shows us many sad and disturbing things that should caution us, should warn us to not go down that same path. I pray that you would warn us this morning. I pray that you would help us to reject, if we are following down a path of rejection and hard-heartedness, pray that you would help us to reject that path and instead be tender-hearted and be humble before you to allow you to do your work in our lives. Pray that you'd speak to us from the Word of God now in Jesus' name. Amen. How sinners stay lost. I want us to see several things that keep people lost in this passage. Let's read the whole text that we'll consider this morning. John chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And we'll stop there. I want us to see a number of things, of reasons why and how sinners stay lost. And we just read there was a man who could not walk. He was lame. And this was an interesting time in Israel's history. There was this pool in Jerusalem, and it had all of these porches, these flat areas for people to congregate in. And at certain times, at certain seasons, an angel came down and would agitate or trouble the water, stir up the water. And that was the signal that there would be healing power from God available for the first person to step into the water. They'd be healed of whatever disease they had. And so all of the diseased people went there. And there was this man here who was so weak, he had been having this infirmity for 38 years. And he'd been in here by the pool of Bethesda. He'd been waiting for many years. We don't know exactly how long. And he could never get to the pool in time. Every time the angel would come down, somebody else would come before him, and he wouldn't be healed. And so he remained in this position. And Jesus knew that he was there, and he asked him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the man said, This is why. I want to be made whole, but I can't ever get to the water in time. And Jesus healed him with his word. And then as we just read, the Jews told him, you shouldn't be carrying your bed. It's the Sabbath day. And eventually they found out it was Jesus that made the man whole. And so we find this man who was in an impossible case. He could never get to the water in time. And maybe he was feeling hopeless. Maybe there was always, you know, who knows? Maybe somebody will pull me into the water, put me into the water in time. But as it looks right now, I'll never get healed. Maybe he thought that. And then the Lord came and he was healed. He began walking and his life was changed. And then there were all these people, the Bible only calls them the Jews, who spoke to Christ and heard Christ speak and saw what he had done. And instead of believing on him or being helped by him, they were trying to kill him. Why the difference? These sinners, at least in this passage, maybe some of these Jews were saved later. Maybe they stopped persecuting Jesus. Maybe they stopped trying to kill him and instead believed on him at a later time. But for this time period, they stayed lost. Why? What were some things in their life that kept them lost, that kept them from being helped like this lame man was helped? Well, we're going to consider how sinners stay lost. And this applies to our lives today. There are people today that have heard the preaching of the Word of God. Of Christ. They have read the Word of God. They have been shown by others. They have seen the gospel work in others' lives, and they refuse to believe it. They refuse to be saved. They stay lost. And these are some of the same reasons that people today stay lost. First of all, sinners stay lost because they are good. And I use air quotes on purpose, because goodness, it's not true goodness, but they believe they are good. Look at John 5, verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Verse 1 tells us there was a feast of the Jews, and those feast days were special Sabbaths. We know, if you know much about Israel's history and their faith, you know that Saturdays are their Sabbath and they don't work on the Sabbath. Feast days were special Sabbaths, and whether it was a Tuesday or Thursday or Monday, Those days were special Sabbaths, and they treated them like a regular, a weekly Sabbath, and they did not work on those days. And so when the Jews saw this man carrying his bed, walking to his home, they said, "You're working, you're doing work, you're breaking the Sabbath, you're violating God's law, you are not observing the Sabbath properly." And why would they say this? This is the focus. Notice the focus of these Jews. Their focus was, "You're breaking the Sabbath." And they were talking to a man who was just miraculously healed. They were focused on the bed he was carrying, and they didn't even acknowledge the fact that he was walking on his own 2 feet. The man said, "I'm only carrying my bed because there was a man who healed me a moment ago, and he told me to do this." And the Jews instead didn't say, "Wow, you were healed? I wonder how that happened. Maybe it's the power of God at work. This is a great thing." Instead, they said, "Who is he that told you that? We're gonna go confront him about this." They were more concerned about the bed in this man's hands than the fact that he was walking after 38 years of being lame and helpless. They were more concerned about his bed. They were so fixated on their own works, keeping the Sabbath day and making sure other people did it as well, that they refuse to acknowledge God's works. And maybe it's a little bit unfamiliar to us, but the fact that Jesus healed and then told the man, "This is what I want you to do," that the power of God at work, only God could heal this lame man, and then Jesus to tell the man to carry his bed showed authority and showed that God was at work. This was not some con man, some charlatan at work. This was only the power of God that could do this. But the Jews were so focused on the Sabbath, and "You're breaking the Sabbath, and don't you know we have to keep the Sabbath?" And it no doubt was a zealous thing, but people become so fixated on doing, that when the power of God is at work and visible and right in front of their face, they don't even regard it, they don't even acknowledge it, because they're so focused on doing what they feel they have to do, being righteous in their own eyes, and "You have to do the same thing, I'm going to hold you to it, because don't you know this is how we live, this is how we keep God's word, this is how we are righteous." Why do sinners stay lost? Because they think they are good. They hold to their own goodness. Christ came to show mercy, not to receive sacrifice. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Jesus makes this very clear. We find two very distinct and different kinds of people in this passage in Matthew 9, Matthew 9, verse 10, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house of Matthew the publican, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Publicans were tax collectors, and tax collectors in this time lied and cheated and stole. They were looked down upon. They were unsavory and unscrupulous people. And it also says sinners, immoral, wicked, the scum of the earth, so to speak, the dregs of society. These people were sitting down and eating a meal with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees, the most righteous, the most godly, the most disciplined, the most religious people saw it, experts in the law of God, when they saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus is saying, "I'm not here to consort and fellowship and spend all my time with people who are righteous." And the point he was making, if you understand what the Bible teaches, you realize that he's speaking to these Pharisees and he's really pointing out their own sin. "I didn't come here to save people who are already righteous. I came here to save sinners. It's sinners that need saving. And if you don't, friend, if you don't think that you need saving, Christ can't help you. If you think that you can get to heaven on your own because you're good, you don't need saving, you're righteous, Christ can't help you. Christ can't do any good for you. He didn't come so that we could sacrifice and impress him with our gifts and just be so good before his eyes. He came to offer mercy. Who does he give mercy to? People who don't deserve it. That's what mercy is all about. People who can't earn salvation. If you could earn your way to heaven, if you could be good and impress God and work your way up the ladder and receive heaven and be in heaven, be in God's home, you wouldn't need mercy. You're good on your own. You can handle this. And that's what the idea of our world is, this self-reliance. I'm enough. I can do this. I've got this. I can handle it. And I see it, you know, online and things, people, these self messages of self-affirmation, you know, you've got this, you're enough, you're good, you're talented. No, we're not. We need mercy. We're not good. But so often we think we are. There is none that doeth good. And as long as we think that we are good and we don't need mercy, we will stay lost. This is how sinners stay lost. They are sinners, but they believe themselves to be good. They try to impress God with their righteousness while he's offering them mercy. God doesn't accept our righteous works because they're not righteous. We think they're righteous, and so we keep offering them to God, but he doesn't accept them. Instead, God is offering us mercy, but we reject mercy because we think we don't need it. Both sides are offering something, and neither side accepts the other. And we're the ones who are wrong. Paul talks about his fellow Jews in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Israel, God's chosen people, that they might be saved. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And you go across the world and you visit many different countries, and there's usually a religion in each country. It changes from country to country. In each country, there's usually a religion that most people hold to, most people follow, most people worship. And in the United States, there are all kinds of denominations, and certain towns especially, it seems like there's a church on every corner, and people go there, and they're faithful. They're good. No, they're not. Because so often people are trying to do it in their own power, in their own righteousness. But Isaiah 64:6 says, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." There are many people in this room right now, I don't know you very well. I don't know what your personal life is like. There are other people where I do know your personal life to some extent, but I don't know your thought life. I can't see your mind. I can't read your thoughts. I can't see your heart. But God can. And I don't have to see those things to know that the Bible is true when it says that you and me and everyone out there, we're all vile and we're filthy and we're wicked. Our righteousnesses, the good things that we try to do, are as filthy rags in God's eyes. We can't impress him because there is no one who is good. How do you stay lost when there is a merciful God who sent his only begotten Son to the world to die for sins and to pay for sins? How does a sinner in that situation stay lost? Well, they stay lost by thinking they are good. That's how you stay lost. Look back at John chapter 5, verse 16, and we'll see another reason that people stay lost. John chapter 5. So they asked him, they confronted him about carrying his bed, and he said, "Well, the man that healed me told me to do this." "Well, who was that?" "Well, I don't know." And then he met the Lord in the temple. The man who had been healed went to the temple to worship. It's a good thing to do after on the Sabbath, and after God works in your life, worship him, thank him, serve him. So he met Jesus, he figured out who it was that healed him, and he went and told the Jews in verse 16. "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Now, in the Old Testament, we do find that God is very pointed about how to observe the Sabbath. And for somebody who says, "I don't care what God says, I don't care what the law says, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to work on the Sabbath. I'm going to just do whatever I feel like. There was judgment for that kind of person. And so in a way, these Jews were upholding the law of God by seeking to punish a man who would tell somebody else to break the Sabbath. Except for the fact that only God could heal this man. And God is the Lord of the Sabbath. He created the idea of the Sabbath. He gave the command of the Sabbath. God is not unrighteous. And Jesus, of course, is God. The power of God healed this man. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so it was not sinful or wrong for him to heal this man or tell him to carry his bed. Healing was doing good. And the Jews did have permission from God to do good on the Sabbath, to rescue someone, to save and help someone on the Sabbath. And that's, of course, what Jesus was doing. But what they displayed here, they did not regard what Jesus had done. Instead, they sought to persecute him and slay him. How does a sinner stay lost? Well, sinners stay lost because they are judgmental. They judge. The Jews believed they were good, and so they felt themselves qualified to judge Christ for his alleged crime. It was okay, it was good for them to have zeal for the Sabbath. That's what God had instituted. But I think that's about the only good thing that we could find in this passage. The Jews had twisted and corrupted their understanding of the Sabbath and their observance of the Sabbath so that when Christ was before them and Christ was healing and Christ was doing things that only God could do, they did not see that. They weren't receptive to that. They didn't acknowledge God at work. They judged God for working. In their judgmental attitude of Christ, they were violating what he himself taught. Look at Luke chapter 6. It's the height of irony to me that Jews who could think themselves right with God and faithful to God were trying to kill the Son of God. Very ironic and sad, but this is how sinners stay lost. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." We ought to use the scriptures to help us analyze and identify sin. Jesus was not sinning. He was doing good, and these self-righteous Jews were judging him for it. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes about this attitude as well. "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." And this is the judgmental spirit that people can have. They hold themselves up high and they think that they're good and they condemn others for probably usually justifiable and actual crimes and offenses and wrongs. But when we do that to others and we point out others' faults, we're condemning ourselves as well because we're sinners. But self-righteous people do not acknowledge that. We tend to minimize our own faults and maximize others, this judgmental attitude. And that's how sinners stay lost, because people say, "You know what? I don't go to church because it's just full of hypocrites." They walk into church and they talk about how God has worked in their life, but they're sinners too. Well, yes, yes, we are. That's why we're here, because the Bible says we're sinners, but we don't have to stay lost sinners. Christ wants to save us so that we don't have to pay for our sin. I'm still a sinner. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to sin. And when I do sin, the Lord convicts me. And if I'm thinking right and if I respond right, I'll repent and be right with God. But I'm still a sinner. I'm not pretending to be perfect and sinless. And sometimes people can be hypocrites. But just because people are hypocrites doesn't mean that God is a hypocrite. Doesn't mean that the Word of God is wrong. But we can be judgmental. And we can lift ourselves up higher than others and forget that Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And because we realize our own sin, we're going to give grace to others in theirs. Because you know what? As soon as I judge you, I remember that I'm wicked. And you know, yesterday I said that thing to so-and-so, or this morning I had that sort of thought, and the other day I did that thing. And you know what? I need to give grace and forgiveness and mercy to others because I've received that from the Lord. I don't deserve it, but I got it. I received mercy, and so I can extend mercy to others. When people are judgmental, they obsess over the sins of others, and they forget that they are sinners. They set themselves up as the judge and forget that God will judge them. They are so secure in their own righteousness, they put themselves in the place of God. But God is still over them. Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Not an account of others. Oh, we'd love to do that, wouldn't we? Oh, I would love to give an account of my neighbor, you know, that guy. I would love to give an account of my cousin, you know, that, whatever. My friend, my coworker. I would, oh, no, you'll give account of yourself. God's going to hold you accountable for you. He's going to hold me accountable for me. And when I think about that, that makes me tremble because I know that I'm a sinner. I know I violated God's law. I don't have any time to worry about your sin because I've got enough of my own. I've got enough faults of my own. I don't need to be judgmental. We ought not to excuse sin. Sin should never be excused or overlooked or just kind of, pushed off to the side. Not in my life, not in your life. But when we are judgmental, we put ourselves up as the judge and we forget that we are guilty ourselves. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." These Jews wanted to kill Jesus. He had just healed a man. He had demonstrated. He had never sinned. And they were so busy trying to condemn him because they were judgmental. This is how sinners stay lost. It would have been so much better if they would have said, "Wow, you know, this man with an infirmity of 38 years, he's been healed. There's something here that we didn't understand. He didn't get healed by going into the water. A man healed him and then told him to carry his bed. What's going on here? Maybe there's something here I don't understand. It seems like he's breaking the Sabbath, but I didn't expect that he would be healed by a man's word. I need to learn more about this man because maybe God's working through him. Maybe there's something here I need to be humble about. I want to hear this man speak. Maybe God's hand is on him." But they didn't ask those questions. They judged the Lord and they wanted to slay him. Deuteronomy 24:16 shows us this accountability that each of us will have. It says, "Every man shall be put to death for his own sin." You won't be judged for your spouse's sin or your sibling's sin or your neighbor or your parent or your friend. You'll be judged for your sin. And that should make us tremble. Instead of judging their own sin, sinners stay lost by judging others. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." I don't want to be judged for my sin, because that is a terrible judgment. It's eternity in the lake of fire. I don't want to go there. I don't want to have that. And so I want to come to God. I want to judge my own sin. I want to say, "Lord, you're right. I'm guilty. I've sinned. I deserve punishment. I deem myself worthy of what you have said I'm worthy of, which is judgment. I need mercy." That's not what these Jews were saying. Turn back to John chapter 5 and we'll see the next thing. How do sinners stay lost? Well, they stay lost because they think they're good. They stay lost because they are judgmental of others. They stay lost because they are stubborn. John 5:17, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.'" He's saying, you know, this, what I did today is consistent with what God has always done. God has always worked on the Sabbath. God has always worked in hearts. God has always been doing good. God has always been working in his people. God, the Jews observed the Sabbath to bless God and worship God. God's always been working. God's always done this sort of thing. He worketh hitherto up to this point, and I work too. I'm doing the same things that my Father has done. He's giving them the truth if they will listen, but they don't. "Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Now again, if we just were to say there was a man in Israel who broke the Sabbath and then claimed to be the Son of God, we would say, whoa, that's blasphemy, that's sin. He ought to be judged. But Jesus had just healed a man. The miraculous power of God was at work. It was a clear indication and a sign and a proof that God was at work. That made all the difference. But they would not listen to that. They were stubborn. Not only did they not listen to what he said, they doubled down on their desire and their intent to kill him. When a man who is just, again, just miraculously healed a lame man, when he makes this kind of statement, it would be wise to listen and consider. The word stubborn means unreasonably obstinate, inflexibly fixed in opinion, not to be moved or persuaded by reasons, inflexible. I think about the political climate of our country. There are a lot of stubborn people. Spiritually, in our world, there are a lot of stubborn people. And why are people stubborn? Because we have chosen what it is we're going to believe, and it doesn't matter what anyone else says to us, we're not going to change. Because we're right. I'm going to believe and think what I decide to believe and think. And it doesn't matter what you have to say to me. I am not going to be moved or persuaded by reasons. I am inflexible. Listen to what the prophet Samuel says in 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is not the same thing as being firmly fixed on the truth of God's word. I am so stubborn, I just believe what God says. We don't use the word stubborn. Stubbornness is described as a negative trait. We ought to stand on God's word and not let it go. We ought to cling to it. We ought to be fixed on it. But that is not stubbornness. Stubbornness is being inflexible and not listening to reason, not listening to truth. Why would a sinner resist the goodness and mercy of God? Why would a lost person prefer their bondage to sin and the burden of condemnation over peace with God and eternal life? There are so many people that are fighting God and they're struggling against God and they hear the truth. Maybe you're one of these people this morning. You're hearing the truth and you refuse to let go. You're inflexible. You will hold on to your opinion, the things that you have decided to believe. Why would you do that? Why would someone be stubborn? This is how sinners stay lost. Why would religious Jews reject their Messiah, the one they say they're looking for? They do it because of stubbornness. Don't be stubborn. This is how a person stays lost. Look at John chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." He's saying, I am doing the works of my Father. The things that you've seen God do, they're the same things that you see me doing. It's the same. Compare it. Show it. Put them side by side, you'll see they're the same. And that is a powerful proof that Jesus is the Son of God. He didn't come as a, you know, we read about corruption and private scandals, and people project this public persona, and I'm good on the outside, but then in secret, in quiet, under the surface, I do all these wicked things. And these come out, and we see that they weren't what they said they were. But Jesus says, look at my works, look at what I'm doing. My life is an open book. I'm transparent before you. Compare my life to God the Father. You'll see they're the same. Why do people stay lost? Because they are blind. Jesus says, all the things that you see me do have already been modeled by the Father. I am merely showing you the Father. And I wish I could get in a time machine. I think that there's nothing I could add to what the Lord said. But in my heart, I wish I could go back and just You know, maybe slap those Jews on the cheek and say, look at who's in front of you. This is the Son of God, the only begotten Son. He's the Savior. Look at him. But they were blind. And this was prophesied. Look at Acts chapter 28. People stay lost because they are blind. And if we realize that we are blind, we can ask God to remove the blindness. But people are stubborn. They think they're good. They're judgmental. People stay lost because they are blind. This is how sinners remain lost sinners. Acts 28, 25. Paul is preaching to the Jews, religious Jews. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. It was prophesied by Isaiah, and we read that in Isaiah 6, 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. This blindness, it's right in front of you, but you don't see it. Look at Matthew 13. People stay lost because they are blind. Are you blind today? Well, if I'm blind, how would I know it? How can I see what I can't see? You can ask God to remove the blindness. You can beseech him to take away your blindness, to help you see and understand what you don't understand. It can happen for you. It happens for me. Matthew 13, 10, and the disciples came and said unto them, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Asking the Lord, why do you speak parables to them? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. And he goes on to say, this is the prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled. I speak in parables because their heart is not inclined to believe. They resist, they are judgmental, they are good, and they are opposing God, and so they cannot receive the word of God. That doesn't have to be true of you. Sinners stay lost because they are blind. But God can remove your blindness if you'll ask him, if you'll desire it, if you'll submit yourself to his hand. Another reason why sinners stay lost is because they are impatient. Look at John chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus continues to speak to these Jews. They're trying to kill him. They're accusing him of breaking the Sabbath. They're accusing him of blasphemy. And he is giving them a sneak peek. He's giving them a preview of what's going to happen. Chapter 5, verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. You might be impressed with me healing this lame man, Jesus is saying, but just wait around. You watch. There's greater things coming. There is much more to come. And again, try to put yourself in this situation. There was a man who walked into a crowd of afflicted people by this pool of Bethesda, and he told the man laying there who had been in this infirmity for 38 years, he said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And just like that, the man was healed. It was over. His infirmity was gone. It was finished. The man with that kind of power then says, you haven't seen anything yet. You want to see something that's really impressive? Something that'll really make you marvel? It's coming. And you will marvel. There are greater works than these. I'd like to think that if I heard him say that, I would get excited. Wow, this sounds great. I'm going to wait around. I want to watch for this, because if I thought that was impressive, there's a whole lot. He said a similar thing to Nathanael, the disciple. I'll show you greater works than these. But they did not listen. These people here, they did not say, wow, that sounds like quite a claim. Let's see if this will happen. Let's wait and see. Let's be patient here. Because if he's a false teacher, if he's not from God, this is going to be a lie. He can't deliver on this promise. He can't do. So let's wait and see. Let's just watch. It'll come out. They didn't wait for that. They weren't patient. They were impatient. People today are impatient with God. Well, I prayed yesterday for God to do something, but nothing happened. That didn't work. I guess God doesn't answer prayer. God, if you're out there, show me a sign. Well, I guess God's not out there then. If God exists, people have said this, if God exists, I defy him and dare him to strike me down right now. See, he doesn't exist. Or, God, please do this for me, but do it on my timetable. We're impatient. And you might say, well, I've heard all this before, and, you know, I told God I wanted to know him, and I don't know him yet, so this must all be fake. It's not real. God's not real. Salvation doesn't work. Praying doesn't work, because I tried that once. People stay lost. Sinners stay lost because they are impatient. If God is God, and some of the things that make him God are his goodness, if he is good, if he is all-wise, if he is all-powerful, if he is eternal, and if he is holy and loving, wouldn't we want him to work on his timetable? Wouldn't that make sense? Wouldn't it comfort us to know that he is working on his timetable? We all understand what it's like to follow a recipe. Maybe you're baking a cake. And you mix up the recipe and you put it in the cake pan and you put it in the oven. We know it would be foolish to say, all right, it's been 30 seconds, I'm hungry, let's eat it. Well, it's not done yet. We know it would be foolish to say, okay, 5 minutes, I've been patient enough. You know, maybe there's 2 millimeters of outer skin on that cake that's cooked and I can. No, that would be foolish. It would also be foolish to say, all right, that's done, I'll come back tomorrow and pull it out and eat it. No, it needs to be done in the right time frame, the right timetable. And if God is God, and God does everything on time, if he's good and wise and powerful and all these things, we need to want him to do it on his timetable. But instead, we say, God, you didn't do it for me on my timetable. And we're lifting ourselves up and saying, I know what's best. I know what's right. I have the wisdom to know it all. And God is my servant to do what I tell him to do. And because he didn't do it, I'm going to reject him. We're impatient. And these Jews, they didn't wait around. Wow, this man who just healed somebody said there's greater things coming. I want to be on hand for that. They didn't have that attitude. They just rejected him. They're impatient. And people do not submit themselves to God, and so they are impatient with God, and they stay lost. If you want to stay lost, be impatient. Be judgmental. Be self-righteous. Sinners stay lost by demanding that God do things in their timing, and when he doesn't, they abandon God. They stop seeking after God. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And I would add, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. Seek ye the Lord as long as it takes. Call ye upon him as long as it takes. Don't be impatient. That's how sinners stay lost. Look at John 5:21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Whom he will. What power and authority is found in that phrase? I'm not going to shock you with this confession. I can't raise anyone from the dead. I don't think you can either. If either you or I could, that would be something to brag about, wouldn't it? Maybe there's this formula that once in a while it works, and so we keep trying. We go to every funeral we can find, and we do this thing, and one time, yes, it worked. Obviously, that's impossible. But if it did happen, that would be something we would brag about. God has the power to raise up anyone whom he will, just at his choice, at his command. Done. He can do that. Such power, such authority, such wisdom. And these religious Jews did not listen. They were proud and they were foolish. And pride and foolishness is how people stay lost. Christ was speaking to Jews who knew their Bible, and they should have understood what he was saying. Again, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Deuteronomy 32:39 from the law of Moses says this, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I am the only God. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. I choose and it happens. Sadly, it's not hard for sinners to stay lost. All we have to do is live according to our natural sinful flesh. Just do what comes naturally to us. And that includes being proud and foolish. There are a lot of proud people in our world today. They're lifting themselves up. They look down on others. A lot of foolish people in our world today making terrible, foolish, wicked decisions. And you and I can be just as proud and just as foolish. How do people stay lost? Just by being that way. Look at Revelation chapter 3. We see a picture of this, of pride and foolishness. Saved people can be proud and foolish too. This isn't just something that lost people can be. And sometimes saved people are proud and foolish. And that's what this passage is talking about here. Talking about a church, and a church is comprised of saved people. And so we can easily apply and understand these truths in this passage to apply to saved people. But we're looking at these truths in the context of John 5, which is sinners staying lost. And so lost sinners and saved sinners can all be proud and foolish in spite of the reasons not to be, in spite of the reasons to accept the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, there's pride, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. We lift ourselves up. I have everything we need. I have everything I want. I don't need to listen to God. And he's knocking. He's knocking, and we say no. We don't come to the door. We don't open the door. That's foolishness. Again, God's chosen people were condemning their Messiah. Let's not be guilty of these same things. The proud and the foolish stay lost. Lastly, let's see that the hypocritical stay lost. Look at John chapter 5 again, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. What was the reason that these Jews were complaining about the man carrying his bed? Because it was the Sabbath. They were trying to observe the Sabbath and worship God and honor God and obey God. They were righteous people before God. They followed God. Well, no, they didn't. Because they were trying to kill the Son of God. They weren't truly righteous. They were claiming to be righteous while resisting God, because Jesus was doing the same works as the Father, whom these people say they loved. In Matthew 3, John says to the Pharisees who came to watch his baptism, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." How do people stay lost? They stay lost because they are hypocritical. These Jews were proud in their being descendants of Abraham. But your lineage cannot save you. Your religion cannot save you. Your good works cannot save you. Only Christ can save you. In order to be saved, you must repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In John 8, the Jews were saying, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth." Hypocritical. They say they loved God, but they resisted the Son of God. They focused on the law. They were judgmental and critical. They blindly and stubbornly held on to their own conclusions. And instead of being good, they were exactly what they accused Christ of being. They were hypocrites. But as long as they refused to see and admit it, they remained lost hypocrites. This is how you and I, this is how sinners stay lost, by being these things. How are sinners saved? We see this attitude of this lame man and how he was rescued from his physical condition, how he was healed, how God worked in his life. He humbled himself before the Lord. Jesus asked him in verse 6, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." How do sinners stay lost? They do these things that these Jews did. But how can you be different? How can you be a different way? How can you instead be saved? Well, follow the example of this impotent man. He humbled himself before God. "Sir, I have no man." Sir, he respected Christ, lifted up the Lord. He admitted he had a problem. These Jews didn't admit. They judged Christ, but this man admitted he had a problem. "I have no man. This is why I cannot be healed. I'm trying, I want to, but I have a problem." What's your problem today? The Bible says our problem is our sin. Will you admit it? Or will you be stubborn and claim that you're good? Will you humble yourself before God? This man also believed that God could save him. Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And the man didn't say, "Oh, no, you don't understand. I've had this for 38 years. All the doctors have said that there's no cure. No, I can't rise and take up my bed and walk." He didn't argue. He believed. He obeyed God. He believed that God could save him. Some people say, "I've done too many bad things. God can't save me." Yes, he can. He can save all sinners. But you have to believe that he can save you. Otherwise, you're not going to trust him. And lastly, this man obeyed what God told him to do. Verse 9, it says, "And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." This man was healed physically. And it appears there's some sign that he loved God and served God and was saved spiritually, but he was rescued physically from this physical condition that he had. But the elements of his response and his attitude toward the Lord, those elements need to be in our life as well. How do sinners stay lost? They're proud, they're foolish, they're self-righteous, they're judgmental, they're stubborn. How do you be saved? You humble yourself before God. You admit that you have a problem. You agree with God when he says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. You accept God's condemnation of your sin in Romans 6:23, where he says, but the wages of sin is death. And you say, I believe that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus preached, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, for whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't resist these verses. We don't condemn them and be judgmental. We accept. We humble ourselves. We believe. We obey. Jesus asked this lame man this question, wilt thou be made whole? And I would ask you, if you're lost today, will you be made whole? Will you be saved? I can't save you. Only Christ can save you. Do you want to be saved? Don't stay lost. Let go of your own righteousness. Let go of your stubbornness, your blindness, your pride and hypocrisy. Let the Lord change you and cleanse you and forgive you. Don't be like these Jews. That's how sinners stay lost. Don't be like that. You can be saved today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts.